Please do turn with me again in your Bibles to the passage we read from earlier on in Revelation chapter 14. Again, the page in the Pew Bible is 1243. A young lady busied herself getting ready, I'm not getting this moving forward, getting ready for her blind date that had been organized. Now, the date that she was going on wasn't just a movie that she was going out to and then home again. No, instead, her blind date was going to take her out to the opera. Before that, they would go out to a top-notch restaurant, and everything was going to be as fancy as it possibly could be. So she wanted to make sure that everything was absolutely perfect. She took the day off work, and during that day, she went in to get a manicure, and then a pedicure, and then a bacon cure. She decided that she would go, and she got her hair straightened, and then she got it curled, and then she got it tortured. She did just about everything that you could think of. And then when she came back home after she went out and she got herself a brand new dress, she came home and she spent about 2 hours in front of the mirror applying her war paint. Everything had to be perfect. And she was sitting waiting for her date to arrive. 10 minutes went by, then 20 minutes, he still wasn't there. 30 minutes went by, eventually an hour had gone by, and she thought, well, there's no sign of my date arriving. So she went into the bedroom, she got out of her glad rags, and she put on an old tracksuit, and she pulled all of the pins out of her hair, and she went in and she pushed a meal into the microwave and she heated it up and she sat in front of the television, curled up on the settee with her cat beside her, and just at that, the doorbell rang. Well, she put everything aside and she made her way to the door, and there was her blind date. And he looked her up and down and up and down again. He says, "I can't believe it." He says, "I gave you an extra hour and you're still not ready." You know, the sad thing is that when Jesus returns, he will still find the majority of people on this earth not ready. So the scriptures tell us, even though people have been given time upon time to get themselves sorted out, the reality is that the vast majority will not be ready and prepared for the return of Jesus. Do you know there's a group of people called the, I'm just saying my wee daughter waving at me through the window there. Do you know there's a group of people called the doomsdayers or the preppers, and they are constantly preparing for what they see as being the reality that one day the world's going to come to an end. So there are those who think that it's going to come to an end as by way of famine, and so they have set themselves up warehouses full of food so that they'll be prepared for that day. Others believe that it will come as the result of a nuclear explosion, and so they've built themselves nuclear bunkers so that they will be protected if such a thing were to happen. Yes, folks, the end of the world is coming. Jesus is going to return, but we do not know when, and we do not know how, but we do know that one day Jesus will not be there, and the next day he will be there. We know that he's going to come, and it's going to be suddenly, it's going to be in the twinkling of an eye, and we know this, we need to be ready. Do you know when you read of harvest in the Bible, it is never just merely talking about the physical harvest that we reap from the land or we take through the animals. No. It is always speaking about a spiritual harvest. It is always looking at it in spiritual terms. And one of the clear messages regarding the harvest is this one. Jesus is coming again, and we need to be ready. So I'm going to ask you right at the outset here this morning, are you ready? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ? Jesus has given us 2,000 years. He has given us his word, the Bible. He has given us all of this to give us every opportunity to be ready. Now, I don't know an awful lot about harvest. I'm a Makui. I don't know an awful lot about anything. And that's the problem with Makuis, isn't it? I'll just get that out of the way before any of you are thinking that, okay? But what I have today is three very simple points from the harvest. I have no idea if anybody else has ever used these points before. They seem far too simple and straightforward to never have been used by someone else. But here's my points this morning. First one is this, and tell me if these make sense, by the way. Again, this isn't working. You reap what you sow. Does that make sense? Folks, you're sleeping on me. Does that make sense? Yeah, I think it makes sense. You reap what you sow. We understand this principle extremely well, unless you're living in Tamlet O'Crilly. You know Tamlet O'Crilly, church town? John Joe Rainey used to be the minister there. And there's plenty of stories going around about John Joe Rainey, and I suppose I have a few just like anybody else, for I've met the man a number of times. But John Joe Rainey one day was visiting a lady in the congregation. And as he went up to her door, he noticed that she had just seeded out a new lawn. And he was up to knock the door, and he looked at the lawn, and he put his hand in his pocket, and what should he have in his pocket but a packet of turnip seeds. And so while he was waiting for the lady to come to the door, he opened the packet, and he threw the turnip seeds over the lady's lawn. He went in, and he did his visit, and he read, and he prayed with her, and then he left the house, and he didn't go back until maybe 6 or 8 months later. And when he went back, he said to the lady, Mrs., he says, tell me, how did your lawn go? And Mr. Rainey, she says, you wouldn't believe this. She says, but there were these great big leaves came up out of the lawn. And she says, whenever I went and I tugged at them, she says, there were turnips on the end of them. She says, I couldn't believe it. But we understand the principle, don't we? That what you plant, what you sow, is what you're going to reap. If you sow carrot seeds, you're going to reap carrot seeds. Doesn't that make sense? Do you know that's a thoroughly biblical interpretation of the spiritual harvest? Exactly the same thing. What you sow is what you reap. And here we read in verse 14, I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated in the cloud was one like a son of man with a crown of gold in his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Do you know the Bible tells us that whenever we read about a white cloud in the Scriptures, it is talking about purity. And what it's saying to us is that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming as the righteous judge of the earth. He's not like judges in the courts here in this world that sometimes get it right and sometimes get it very wrong. No, whenever Jesus returns, his judgment will be absolutely spot on, perfect in every way. There will be no mistakes with it. And we read that whenever it comes to that, that it will be like him putting in a sharp sickle into the earth. We read in this passage that the first fruits are going to be reaped first, those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the sickle will be put in, and the grapes of the earth will be gathered, and they will be thrown into this great winepress. And they will be trampled. The picture here is that they will be trampled under the feet of the horses. And it's not a particularly nice picture. It talks about the blood flowing out, and it will be for 1,600 stadia. So we find this picture created of Jesus coming as the judge. What is it for the redeemed? What will they experience? Well, we read in verse 20, they were trampled in the winepress outside the city. Sorry, this is the unbelievers. They were trampled in the winepress outside the city. The blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as the horses' bridles for a distance of 1,600 stadia. It's not a nice picture. Sure, it's not. You see, the reality is that Jesus is going to come back as the pure and perfect judge of the earth, and he will judge us according to what we have done with him, whether we have accepted him as our Savior and Lord, or whether we have rejected him. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, these are not my words, these are the words of Scripture. And if you die in the way that you are today, well, the Bible makes it clear that you will face the judgment. You see, there will be eternal separation, and we will be punished for the wrong things that we have done. Whenever I was in school, I remember us having to study a particular book in English one time, and if you come to me afterwards, I'll tell you what the book was. It was particularly Driech, and you know what Driech is? Well, it was Driech, and I remember taking a pen and writing something on the desk in school. Now, for any of you who are still in school, do not do this. It was not good, and it did not turn out well for me. Because we were in a particular classroom, we were only in this classroom one day in the week, and it was for this lesson. And I remember some of the other guys in my class saying to me, the teacher whose classroom this is looking to see who wrote on a desk. So none of them knew it was me, but I did. And you see that period, I sat with my key out, and I was trying to remove it off the desk in the classroom with a key. I was scraping harder and harder and harder to get what it was I wrote in the day. I'm not telling you what it was. I'll tell you afterwards if you want to know. But I was scraping away to get it off like that there, and I could hear the footsteps coming down the hall. And there were the footsteps of the teacher boys. They walked ever so slowly, I can tell you. And I could hear this footstep, and I could feel the sweat breaking out in my brow. And I was going as fast as I could to get this off the desk. And I could see her coming into the classroom, and I still can picture it in my mind. And she went over to talk to my teacher, who thought I was a star. At least I thought she thought I was a star. And she looked down at me and she shook her head. And I thought, oh no. And then the teacher whose classroom it was came down to me. And she took me by the arm and she led me out of the classroom, brought me over to the vice principal's office. The vice principal was a Christian and I was a Christian at that time. And I remember the vice principal saying to me, Mark, I am so disappointed. Honestly, if the ground could have opened up, I would have wanted it to at that moment. I ended up with detention. I had to go home and say to my mom and dad, I think that was probably the worst thing of the whole lot, having to say to them, for I was punished there as well as I was punished in school for what I'd done. But I got something that I deserved. I got a punishment that day that I deserved for the wrong thing that I had done. Now, the principle is exactly the same in spiritual terms. If we reject Jesus Christ, we will be rejected by Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. And you may live your life and you may do plenty of good things and you may help many people in many situations. You may not smoke or drink or swear or anything else like that. But the Bible makes it clear that we must be born again. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. If it was that way for Nicodemus and it's that way for me, why do you think it's any different for you? And if you're not born again, if you have not received Jesus as your Savior, well, then the Bible says that you must be punished. And those who reject Christ will be rejected by Christ. It's not a nice message, I know. But if I saw you about to walk off the edge of a cliff, I would shout at you. I would come over and try and grab your arm. I would try to stand in your way to prevent you going off the edge of the cliff. And I don't think that you would complain about me shouting at you on that day, would you? And if I got to make it clear to you today that without Christ you will be lost forever, I don't do it because I enjoy the message. I do it because I love you too much to see you go into a lost eternity. So the message is clear that you reap what you sow. The vine of the earth is going to be cut. For the unbelievers, they will be the ones who will be punished in this way. But for the believers, We read at the start of this chapter in verses 1 to 3 that they are going to get to hear a choir of angels. Now, the choir here this morning have angelic voices. You enjoyed hearing them, didn't you? I'll try that one again. Yvonne didn't hear the tumbleweed blowing up the aisles there. You enjoyed hearing them, didn't you? That's a relief. But no matter how good their voices are, they do not compare to the voices of the angels in heaven. And one day, I'm going to get to hear those voices. One day I'm going to get to hear them, not because I'm good or I'm righteous or I'm special, but because the one who died for me is good and righteous and special, because he took the punishment for my sin upon himself. And I'm going to get to hear those angel voices one day. Are you? Are you? Praise the Lord if you are. But if today you say, I'm not sure, well, then you need to trust in Jesus as your Savior. Because when you've given your life to Jesus, he confirms to you that you're a child of his and you're on your way to heaven. You reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap eternal life. That's a simple rule, isn't it? Next one is just as simple. And here it is. You reap after you sow. Doesn't that make sense? Honestly, folks, doesn't that make sense? Yes. It does. Well, it does to me anyway. You reap after you sow. You can't expect to reap something before you've actually planted it in the ground. And I can remember whenever Rebecca was wee, and that was a long time ago, I can remember when Rebecca was wee, that we decided we would go out and plant out a few vegetables. And we put the carrots in the ground, we put the tomatoes in the ground, we put whatever all else it was, we put it all in the ground, lettuces, the whole lot. And every day Rebecca went out and she looked to see if the lettuces were there. Not that she likes lettuce or carrots or any other vegetable. But anyway, she went out every day. She wanted to see it because she thought that it would be like going to McDonald's. You drive up to the window and you order whatever it is, and there it is for you in 2 minutes. It may not be exactly what you ordered, but it's there for you in 2 minutes. And we live in an instant world. Instant coffee. Instant hot food. And sometimes we think that's the way it works regarding spiritual things. And the problem today is that for the unbeliever, they say, well, you know, the Lord has never yet struck me with a bolt of lightning from the sky, and therefore I can carry on doing whatever I like. The fact that God hasn't judged me yet for what I've done means to say that I can do what pleases me. There is no God because he hasn't sent the judgment upon me yet. But the wonderful word there is yet. Our God is long-suffering. He is patient, but he is also just. And if you have sin in your life, the Lord will deal with that sin. And we see this set out for us here. We read about three angels. The first angel talks about those who dwell on the earth. The literal Hebrew term that's used here is sitting, and it talks about those who are amused by the things here and now, and they don't consider what's coming. Kind of like a painter who goes out and he sits on a rock and he starts to paint the sea and the horizon that he sees in front of him, but he doesn't notice that whilst he is caught up with that, that in actual fact, the sea has come in right around the rock and he's stranded. And this first angel is coming to deal with those who are sitting on this earth, who are so amused by the things here and now that they've lost sight of what is to come. And they're not prepared. And then the second angel we read about here, the second angel comes and it says, fallen, fallen is Babylon. And what this second angel is saying is that the fleshly things of this world will be brought to an end. The things that we experience today that are so much a part of our thinking and our living today, that one day there'll be no more. So you know the way we're encouraged to prepare for the future. Make sure you've got money in the bank. Make sure that you have a scheme set aside so that it pays for your funeral. We're encouraged to get as much around us as we possibly can. Well, the second angel says, all that's going to be taken away. Counts for nothing. And the third angel is going to come. We read about the third angel in verses 9 and 10. And it tells us that those who are attached to the world will perish with it. So the message of all three of these angels is this, that judgment is coming, and that one day, soon, that judgment will come. Big question is, are you ready for it? Are you prepared? It's a mistake to reject Jesus Christ. And when Jesus returns, it will be too late then. You cannot cover over your mistakes with Tippex or remove it with a simple apology. When Jesus Christ returns, it will then be too late. Just like the story of Noah's Ark. We've been looking in part at this in our communicants classes. I've been underlining there why I believe Genesis 1 to 11 are so vitally important for us to take in a literal sense. And one of those reasons is because we read of Noah's Ark, of how one day God shut the door to the ark. And all those who were outside whenever the rain began to fall could not get inside. It was too late. The door to salvation is open today, but one day it will be closed. And that's why today is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. Two principles, you reap what you sow, you reap after you sow, and the last one you'd be glad to know is the shortest of the three. You reap more than you sow. Does that make sense? Yeah, I think it does. You look at the trees around the manse, and believe me, I'm looking a lot at them at the minute, and I'm thinking I'm going to be in for an interesting autumn as those leaves begin to fall. Hazel's going to be exceedingly busy, and I'll have to make her lots of cups of tea. But we understand the principle. At one time, those trees were just little seeds or acorns. But today, they are massive. And so we understand the principle when it comes to the harvest. You put a seed into the ground, and what you reap is a full-grown crop. So you reap more than you sow. And this is very much the concept of Scripture. Our reward, bad or good, will be greater than what we reckoned on. The Bible makes it clear that he who sows to the wind will reap the whirlwind. We know about a whirlwind this week, don't we? It's in the news. We reap, we sow to the wind, and we reap the whirlwind. Desi, I have no idea what I'm doing with that microphone. I'll put it out there and maybe it'll stop it happening. We sow to the wind, and we reap the whirlwind. Here's the way that works. Honestly, I didn't do anything there, I promise you. Here's the way it works. If we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we kneel down, we ask him to forgive us. That's something fairly small. From our point of view, it's exceedingly small. What happens? Okay, I might have to go to the center mic. What happens there is that what we receive in heaven itself, walking streets of gold, listening to the angels in heaven, what we receive is vastly more than what we deserve, isn't it? Heaven is so much more than we deserve.
Similarly, if you reject Christ in this life, just for one sin, the Bible makes it clear you receive everlasting death. For one sin, you receive God's wrath. For one sin, you will end up in hell, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. So we reap more than we sow. Let me ask you today, where are you sowing? Are you sowing in Christ? Because if you are, then what you will receive will be much more than you deserve. Praise the Lord today. You are His child and you're on your way to heaven. But if you're sowing in this world, and the Bible makes it clear that when Christ comes, you will be judged and you will receive eternal punishment. What if today the angel appointed by God in heaven speaks across to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "Thrust in the sickle, for the time has come." What if that were today? Where would you be? If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I urge you, don't go away here today without giving your life to Him. If you're not sure what to do, come and see me after the service. I'll be around. Or speak to any of the other Christians here. We would be only too delighted to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. But even where you sit in your pew now, all you need to do is to ask Jesus to forgive you. And He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I would encourage you, if you do so, come and share it with another believer, just so that we can encourage you and help you along the way. You reap what you sow. You reap after you sow. And you reap more than you sow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is so clear to us. We thank you for these very simple principles in the harvest, and yet we realize that they reflect to the spiritual harvest of souls. And we know that the fields are white unto harvest. And we pray, Lord, that today we would see those who come and trust in Jesus. We realize that salvation is all of you, and therefore we will give to you alone all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. Lord, we pray that you would apply your truth to our hearts and help us to live according to it as we pray through Jesus our Lord. Amen.